you should write them again, because sometimes things get lost in the email, or you can let me know. But you still have to turn in the half of the paper that is your response, the research. That has to be turned in. And then you can wait on turning in the mentor if you haven't got the mentor information back. Okay. If you have not gotten a mentor, let me know. As long as you're up to date on, not even up to date, semi-up to date on homework, you should have got a mentor. Okay? If all I've gotten from you is week one and week two, I decided not to waste the mentor's time, because by the time you've got around to doing this, it would be the end of the semester. So, anyway, let me know if you are having problems hearing from the mentor. Sometimes if I nag them, that works. Okay, we are going to look at Visual Basic for a little while, and then Terry Ott, who's an ex-student of ours, is coming in to talk about jobs at Meditech and what Meditech does, because Meditech is a fairly big hirer in the local area. So, we're going to go and bring up Visual Studio. Okay. And if you can't find it, it's not with CIS software. So go in under Microsoft Studio 2012. If you weren't here last time, you're going to go in under Microsoft Studio 2012. And this is really our last big project. There's a few other things that we'll do too. My goal is to give you the last week of the semester with no homework so that you can start working on the final. I hand out the final, or I post the final, 1 week before it's due. And so it's an online final. I don't intend to be here, and you don't have to be here, okay? It's an online final that you could not complete in 2 hours, probably. But by giving you the last week off, I get an extra 6 or 9 hours that you're supposed to be doing work. So, ha-ha, they're mine. And you're going to have to use some of them on the final. Okay? So, anyway, the final will be posted 1 week before it is due. And it has to be passed in on time. And I mean by on time, it has to be passed in by the start of the final. So if the final is scheduled to start at 10 o'clock, I better have it by 9:59 or I really start subtracting points like crazy. Okay? That's the one thing that I get very aggressive about doing points. So you're going to have a week to do it. Get started. Send it in to me a day or two early. Ooh. And then you know that you have sent it. And I give you a backup email and tell you to send it to two places just in case. And that shouldn't be a CC, it should be 2 sends. Just, again, we're trying to be secure, and 2 sends are going to be a little more reliable, okay? So, go in and open Visual Basic 2012. 2013 is out, but the textbooks don't go with it, so we've stayed with 2012, and now 2015 is in beta, so who knows? We may end up skipping 2013 and going right to 15. But we are using right now 2012, and it doesn't make any difference for all of the beginning stuff anyway. So you're going to go in and open 2012. And again, you go to all programs, go down to Visual Studio, Microsoft Visual Studio 2012, and then click on Visual Studio 2012 again, and it should open. There is also an Express version. You can get Visual Studio through DreamSpark. And you can download the Express version if you go to Microsoft and look around for the Express version. That's free, and you can also download that. And either one work. Okay, I use the Express version a lot because it happens to be what I have on the computer I use the most. So now what we're going to do is we're going to open the one I was looking at last time. So we're going to say file open project. And the project that I want is on my F drive, and it is called First Math. And that's the one that we looked at in class last time, and you open the SLM. For you who weren't here last time, if you go to my website and go to Programs, and under Visual Studio, if you go to Programs and Visual Basic, firstmath.zip is the one you want to download. So you're downloading firstmath.zip, and when you get it, so when you bring it up, First Math, there is an SLM. And because I run it, there's also an SUO, which is more of the testing. You want to open the SLM. And remember, when you send this to me, you want to zip up the folder that contains it. And when you zip up that folder, you're going to send me that folder. Okay? So, I am now going to have this opened. We looked at the first four or five things on there. I want to just finish this off. The things that come in off the form come in as text. And if you want numbers, numbers are stored differently. Remember that if you have a text field and you call a number text, 10 is stored like that. If you have a number, 10 is stored like that. Well, if there's an uneven number of digits, it has a hard time doing comparisons between text and numbers. So when you do comparisons, you want to have the same type. And that's basically true in programming. If you're working with things, you want them to be the same type. So what I did here is I did a convert to integer on both the numbers that come in off the text box. Okay, so I've got two numbers coming in off the text box, and I said I want to convert those to numbers. Because when I convert this to a number, it then stores it that way. And I've got a much more direct comparison between them. Okay? So I did a convert to number. It usually works all right if you have the same number of digits. So comparing 10 to 10 would work all right. But if I tried to compare 10 to 500, that's when it tends to get confused if I have the wrong number of digits, or 50 to 5 or something. So it is just always a good idea to say, I want to convert them to integer. Okay? So, I did the convert to integer, and I said, okay, now we're going to test and see if the first number is greater than the second number. And again, I'm saying the name of the thing on the form. Let me take a picture and go back on the form. If you weren't here the last time and you are confused, I right after this time after Terry leaves, I can go over it a little, and I can go over it at 2 o'clock as well. Okay, so I'm going to close the ink layer and go back. Up here I have the form and the form in design mode. So there's my form in design mode. And again, like we did last time, I put on some, dragged over some labels. I dragged over some text boxes. And I dragged over some buttons. And I have those all on the form. And after I drag them over, I name them, or I name them actually as I drag them, but it doesn't matter. So this first text box was called Text First. And again, if you click on that second button in, you see things alphabetically, which I deal with a lot better. So at this point, that box is named Text First. The next box is named Text Second. There it is, named Text Second. This place where I want to put the answer is named as Text Answer. Okay? My buttons are labeled with a BTN. So my add button says button add. So I've got all of these buttons and everything set up. So again, now we're going to look at question two. So if I double click on question two, it takes me right to question two. Remember when I double click on it the first time, it puts that top line in and the end sub in. And then I get to put stuff in between. And because I double click on it, it's called button question two underscore click, meaning the click event on that button. The thing in green that has an apostrophe in front of it is a note. So I can document this with notes by putting the single quote in front, and then it becomes a note. So I can make little notes there. So my logic here is I ask the question, is the first greater than the second? And I am looking for content. So, because I want content, where do I write that? Over here, I guess. Because I want content, I want the content of text first, and the content is called text. So I put the word text in there, which means I want to know what is in that box. The box is named Text First. TextFirst.text tells me I want the content. And I want to compare the content in the first text box with the content in the second. And if it's greater, then I'm going to write the message, first is greater. If it's not greater, I'm going to ask the next question. And my next question was, is first less than second? And if it is, then I'm going to put out the fact that it's less, and otherwise I'm going to put out the fact that it's equal. Okay, so that's my if statement. Now again, notice, this is not like JavaScript in that I do not need the curly braces. I have if, else, end if. If, else, end if. So the end if is ending the thing, not the curly braces. So I'm very clearly saying if, else, end if. And if I don't have an else, I just say if, end if. if I don't have any else that I want to do, if it's this, do this, otherwise do nothing, I can say if, do this, else, I mean, and if, no else. Okay. So this one, if I run it, will test two numbers. So if I come over here and run this, and I go and say start up here at the start to start it, I'm going to leave the code open so that we can see the code as we run. So there's my code, and I put in a 12 and a 22. And question 2 tells me first is less than second. Okay. If I put 120 here and hit question 2, it tells me first is greater than second. And if I make them both 120, okay, notice I accidentally turned it off. Notice the little thing with the three boxes down here at the bottom. Okay, way down over here, there's three little boxes. If I click on those three boxes, then it will magically reappear. There it is. Okay, so I'll change this to 120. And hit question 2, and it's now saying first is equal. Okay. The other thing that I did on the code is I defined a variable. So, you know that in defining a variable in JavaScript, you use the word var to describe the variable in Visual Basic, I use the word dim. Okay? So here I'm saying dim work answer, and JavaScript tries to figure out the type. Visual Basic wants to know the type. So I said work answer is going to be an integer. So I said define work answer as integer. If I also wanted to give it an initial value, I could do that. I could write equals 0 right there, and that would give it an initial value. Okay? So I have defined my variable there. Okay? And once I've defined my variable, I can say I want to subtract what's in the second box from the first box and store it in work answer. And then I said, if work answer is greater than 0, do one thing, else do something else. And we can return to this later, but we have company. Okay, so come on up. Okay, do you want anything on the screen or anything? Okay, then I will leave it.
I can't think of it.
You put a MediTek logo on
there. Feel free.
It's too much. Wow.
Meditech.com?
Yeah, you can do that.
Ta-da!
So what class is this?
This is an introductory class.
To which one?
120.
So it's logic and...
That's right, and programming, and we're just working on Visual Basic.
Oh, so you guys are just getting started.
Yes. But some of them are here as their first semester, and some not. Okay. This is Terry, and...
My name is Ben.
Hi. And Terry was a student here, a couple of years ago. How many?
Well, I've been at Meditech 5 years.
So you were a student here before that.
Yep.
And he was a great student while he was here. He's dearly loved by Meditech. Mm-hmm. And now he's going to tell you about the job. What I'm hoping he will tell you about is the kinds of jobs that are available in Meditech, what he does, and all that good stuff. And you are being recorded. Mm-hmm. For anyone that's not here.
Oh, that's not good.
Oh, that is good.
Okay.
So you're on.
We're on. Okay. Here's the deal, guys. You guys are just starting out. I will tell you this much. I'm not supposed to say this, but your professor, I've been here, she gives way too much homework. All right, that's bad news. The good news is, one day, if you work in this field, you will thank her for it.
Remember that, guys.
I'm telling you, you will thank her for it. You get one thing I like about BCC, and this is the advantage of working at Meditech. Do you guys know what Meditech is? Maybe we should tell you a little bit of background.
Right.
We do software for hospitals. Strictly hospitals. Basically, from the time you schedule an appointment to the time, you know, ER, till you walk in an ER room, till the time you walk out, and it doesn't stop there because we have billing and receivable software. And we have the software where, what do they call it, where the ladies sit there and enter the
admissions, scheduling.
Is it, what does ABS do?
Basically sets everything up for the insurance companies.
Yeah, the insurance companies, exactly. So they're typing in exactly all the, whatever the insurance company wants to do. We have all that from A to Z. We started, normally, I will tell you this also. Normally, when we come here, there's a recruiting agent with me who couldn't make it today, unfortunately. But it's his job. See, he always does all the good job of pumping up Meditech. He'll stand here for about 5 to 10 minutes, tell you what an awesome company it is. And I think we can agree that it is a pretty good place to work.
I love working there.
Honest to God, I do too. I don't think I ever really liked going to work until I started there. And it's all about, I don't know, it's fun solving problems. And that's our job. Ben works with me in the update group. What we do, I should give you back more of a background about the company. We just celebrated our 50th anniversary. Whoopie-doo. I mean, that's great for
Meditech. 50 years for a software company is absolutely ancient.
Yeah.
That's
yes,
a long time for a
things.
Software company to be around. So.
Yeah. The guy who founded us, Neil Tapalardo, he was, well, he graduated number one in his class.
In MIT?
At MIT, yeah, he's just a little bit smart. He wrote a lot of the computer language. He was actually one of the pioneers. You're talking 50 years ago. There wasn't even hardly computers, let alone languages to write them in. But he wrote a lot of the languages that we started out in. Mies. Mies may not mean anything to you, but it's actually one of the biggest languages that there is, widely used languages in the healthcare industry. We actually graduated from Mies to go into, he developed a little more to turn it into magic. So we can all say that we're magicians because we deal with magic every day. And if someone asks us how we solve the problem, we just say, magic. It's pretty fun. But where else was I going? tell us something else good about Neil.
About Neil specifically.
Or anything.
He has crazy hair. That's one thing I'll say.
Hair.
But
he is. yeah, he looks
like.
Can
you have, he's open to what, about 10 branches or whatever? How many different offices are there?
We have
I think there's 8 or 9 at this point. There was a couple of new buildings that were just opened up over the last couple of years.
About 5,000 employees.
Ah,
if you count Atlanta and Minnesota.
I think it's 4,000, something like that.
All right. I'm exaggerating a little bit. 4,000, at least, let's see, there used to be 1, 2, 3. There's one in Framingham, 3 right up at the top of 95 where it hits kind of 90, where it hits 93 in that area. 1 here in Fall River, 1 in Foxborough, 1 in Waltham. So there's a lot of office buildings around here. I'm really happy because there's 1 in Fall River. I don't like driving up there due to all that traffic. A lot of the people I know, even though we don't start, we have nice hours too. We have, you know, what they call banker's hours, 9 to 5. 9 to 5:30, I guess. The 5:30 is a little late, but not bad. You don't have to get out of bed early. You can stroll in. And here's the other good thing. Ben knows I know about this. If you're, once you've established yourself as being, you know, pretty valuable, if you're a few minutes late, software companies value your brains. They don't chastise you very much. So I like it. It's a laid-back atmosphere.
Absolutely. It's very good for unconventional people, I guess you could say, like myself, people who don't fit, you know, the common mold. It's not the type of place where you're going to show up in a suit and tie to work every day. Like Terry was just saying, they value your brain. It's all about what can you do? What can you bring to the table?
Yeah.
Apart from that, I mean, whoever you are, just show up and you'll find a place as long as you have
something. You don't have to be the most gifted person because they train you. So I'm going to go back to where I was starting from. You guys are here, you're just starting out, all right? This is what I can tell you from first-hand experience. Here's what's nice about Meditech. If you're looking to get into software, what I liked about it is they don't have a conventional language. They don't use Java or C++ or languages that everybody and their brother knows. I tell you, Neil Popolardo, he wrote his own language. That's the language we use. We now have how many different languages?
Well, WT, Magic, CS, FS, MAT. So 5 main ones. But they're all sort of built on, well, FS is its own
thing.
It's
a little bit of its own beast.
I mean, it's mainly 2 foundations and then languages that are built on those foundations.
And they're more similar to what, C? Plus, or?
Well, I'll tell you something.
They're weird.
I have never taken a programming class in my life. And I learned what. I actually went to school to be a history teacher. And I went there. I got an interview because I knew one of the development programmers at Meditech. And my skill that I brought to the table was chess. I'm a national chess master, was twice champion of Rhode Island, and they said, okay, if this guy can learn this, he could probably learn computer programming. So I was hired in a software support technician position at Meditech, which is sort of like a junior programmer, I guess you could say, where I'm learning the language as I was doing more checklist-oriented type of work for their Meditech updates. And then after 2 years, they say, okay, this guy's learned the fundamentals, and now he's going to be a programmer, and you just keep getting better and better, and took it from there. I've been there almost as long as Tariq now, about 5.5 years. So.
Are you trying to discourage everyone?
Yeah,
tell the person that wrote this with MIT.
Well, Meditech, it's a databasing language, so everything is about arrays. So that's definitely something in your programming classes. If you're interested in Meditech, learn how arrays work.
That's not right. GDU of X equals 0 equals 1. Basically, this is a loop that goes through this structure. This structure is our users. through every user. X starts out with a value of nil, so it goes through this array, finds the first one, and it just keeps doing that. And then all this loop will do, that's chicken scratch, but it's supposed to say if and 1 g of x p0 is equal to y. Well, p0 I know is whether it's active or not. So if it's an active user, 1 plus num goes to num. Num is just my variable for count. And this will return to you how many active users are out of sight. So it's weird stuff because we don't have spaces for the most part. There can be multiple expressions on the same line, just a comma in between. There's no spaces for the most part, like other languages. It's kind of strange. However, here's the good news. You get trained extensively in this, right?
Yes, and it's even better training now than it was when we started.
Yeah, absolutely. And not only do you get trained in it, but you... What about the people we sit around? What tell them about our floor plan, how that helps us?
It's all wide open, so you have a question, just yell it out there and somebody will have an answer for you.
Pretty much just similar to this, but not really, because we each have our own cubicle, but we don't have walls that come up to here. So it's wide open like this. You have your own little cubicle, but if you have a question to the guy over there, yo, dude. And it works a lot like that. And it's very friendly, because the first time you look at this, you're like, I gotta write a loop that does that? How am I supposed to? But the guy next to you, he's been in your seat. So I'm telling you, I've never worked in a place like that. There is an atmosphere where people help each other. Mm-hmm. You agree?
Yes. I've never seen any kind of cutthroat atmosphere in MediTech. Everybody wants to help each other.
All right, now I'm going to tell you, go back to, now I'm finally going to finish why it's good to be here. Okay? One thing good about MediTech, Ben told you, he was just a chess champion. You take a logic test when you start out. That's how you, when you apply to MediTech. It's a programming test to check programming aptitude, more logic as much as anything. If you pass that, you're in.
You get hired.
Programmers, they're pretty much always hiring. Other positions, not so much right now, would you say?
Yeah, basically there's a new product that they want to see how that goes, and then probably over the next year and a half, if things go well in the beta testing, then things will start booming.
I remember when Craig used to come, he used to talk about it was a very secure job, too.
Yes, absolutely. They've never laid off a single employee in 50 years. I don't know of many companies anywhere that can boast that.
Yeah, that's a real plus. We've even worked with some guys who, honestly, great guys, but they couldn't quite cut it. They found a place for them.
Right.
They didn't lay them off. We have some positions where people basically move code from ring to ring. If someone needs a change or a fix or something, all their job is just to move the code along.
If you're having trouble at first, and I'm saying this because I had a lot of trouble learning this language at first, they will give you time to learn it. It's not like, okay, this guy has a few weeks, he hasn't shown us that he really gets how this really works, let's get rid of him. They're going to give you time to learn it, and if you are making strides towards that, then they're going to, and if you, say you're a person like Terry just said, and you just don't get it, they'll find something else for you as long as you try it and you have a positive attitude.
Honestly, I know one person that's having to.
Right. But if you have a positive attitude and your competency isn't quite where it needs to be, they'll get you there. And if for whatever reason you can't and you're still struggling, but you're doing your best to provide the best benefit to the company that you can, they'll find something for you to do. And like Terry said, there was we can only think of one person that that really happened to. So, I mean, as long as you have a positive attitude, that, that can go a long way.
Yeah.
Could you
so,
talk a little bit about degrees?
To
you made the comment about an associate. You had an associate, and you didn't feel at all like you.
Oh, absolutely, and that's really what I want to come here to tell you guys. I graduated from BCC. This is why I can tell you firsthand experience. The training you get here, yeah, it's not in this wacko language. But I don't care what language you're writing code in. We have a saying that I don't like at Meditech, but it's true. Code is code. And in other words, the logic is the same. They tell us that if you have to support an application sometimes that you don't know anything about. You don't even know what the code's doing. And
doesn't matter.
Yeah, it pretty much doesn't matter. If someone can show you saying, all right, you click this button, this is supposed to happen, but it doesn't. Okay, I got to make that happen and see why it doesn't happen. That's
one of the nice things about being a programmer as opposed to we have our counterparts who actually know how the software works, are the application specialists, and that's the person for abstracting. They're going to hire somebody to know the ins and outs of how to actually work the application from a user's perspective. Yep. That person will not be able to go in. An abstracting specialist is not going to be able to go into the pharmacy application and have any idea what they're doing. But if, say, there's an issue that's reported, say, I'm an abstracting programmer and pharmacy comes out there with an issue, if you can tell me the steps to get to that issue in pharmacy, I'm going to be able to go in there and look at the code because, like Terry just said, code is code, and I can figure out why it's not doing what they would expect it to be doing. Whereas as somebody who's a specialist who isn't looking at code, they wouldn't know what to do because they don't know how the software works.
So how long do we have?
Well, this class ends at 12:15, but you don't have to go that long. So it's up to you.
Okay. No, we're fine. We like rambling.
And everybody, nobody seems to be falling asleep yet.
But
so.
Here's the... I still didn't really finish all my thoughts. I'm telling you, the logic background you get here. I was a nervous wreck when I got hired there. Because I'm thinking, all these other dudes, man, they have at least a bachelor's degree. And I'm here with an associate's degree. I didn't have a choice. Okay, what happened to me is, You hear me say I've only been there 5 years, and yet you look at me and you know I ain't that young, you know, we'll leave it at that. But what happened to me was I was in textiles my whole life. The bad news for me is I can't speak Chinese, so there was no more jobs in the textile market unless I wanted to move to the Orient. So I didn't have a choice. I had to change careers midlife. So I was in my mid to late, I guess pretty much late 40s. I came here, well actually, because I lost my job to imports, the government said, okay, we'll train you for 2 years. All right, now, I had a mortgage. I had a lot of bills to pay. They don't go away just because you lose your job. So I'm thinking to myself, I don't want this to happen to me again. I was in a volatile career that ended up going overseas. I don't want that happening again. What's my best opportunity? And when I looked at everything that was offered, I said, man, it's definitely something with computers. I'm going to tell you, when I came here, I'm not kidding you, I knew nothing. I could turn a computer on. When I ran the dye house, I was a beta site for some of the software companies that develop software to organize a dye house. So I knew a little bit, and I thought it was I also enjoyed it because, I don't know, I saw the difference that it made. The way we ran our dye house, I saw a difference. Our quality numbers went up immensely just because we started keeping all of our formulas on a computer and printing out, this is exactly what you need for it. I mean, it was amazing. So I saw firsthand. So to me, software had a couple. I wanted to be able to help. I saw how it could help things. That was one of the things. But I'm going to be honest with you. I got to cut through the chase. The real reason was I didn't want to lose my job again. And I knew software, programming, it seemed like it had a bright future. I didn't see myself with a chance of losing another job. And I can say I made the right decision. I know I don't have to worry about getting laid off again. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen at Meditech. Like, if what's his name was here, he would say, all these years, never had a layoff. And there's a lot of benefits at Meditech. We have really good benefits. I will tell you this, give me a call if you ever want a job, because one of the benefits we have, right?
Yes.
I've done this twice already. If you recruit, 90% of our hires are by word of mouth. In other words, a referral. Yeah, in other words, I know this guy. I've talked to Professor Grosser. I know that he's pretty shrewd. He did a good job there. I will recommend him. 90% of our programmers are hired by referrals, which is a pretty amazing number. Not only that, if I am so wonderful that I referred him, the company gives me a $3,000 bonus. After he's been here, how many months? 6 months? Is it 6 months?
3 months.
Oh, it's only 3 months?
3 months.
That's even better. So, even if he doesn't make it a year,
I still get a bonus.
But he's not going to get laid off anyway.
Yeah, exactly. He's not going to get laid off, but, you know, things happen. People do come and say, I don't know if I can cut this.
This isn't for me or whatever.
Huh?
I said, this isn't for me or whatever. And they leave.
Yeah, exactly.
Back to how you felt being an associate versus
so then you're talking to him on the side, like, stay for a couple more weeks, man.
Oh, yeah.
I'll slip it.
Or get the guy at the other end of maybe the 3,000.
Yeah, and that was the point I was trying to make. When I went to Meditech with an associate's degree, honestly, I didn't feel like I was behind in anything. I felt like I knew as much as anybody else with a big degree. And I'm telling you, I know that comes from here, all the work, number one, all the work that you do. But really, number two is, it's all about logic. Do this until, you run out, do this until you've gone through all the users in that the site has. That loop will stop when you hit the end. It goes back to nil and it says, I'm done. So, the logic is the same. And if you get that down, you can succeed. And at Meditech, if you go to a company where they're Java specialists, well then maybe you should have had a few more years or experience and did this and that and the other. But at Meditech, you need the logic. And that's what you get at BCC. You get a firm foundation, but you get a solid grounding in the logic it takes to make it all happen. And that's what you'll succeed in. So we'll take a minute, and we'll tell you a little bit about our jobs. Both of us, what group do we work in?
The update group.
Yeah, and what does the update group do?
Well, when they're going through a software upgrade, development makes a whole bunch of new, latest and greatest changes, and the software is, the sites are getting their new code. Any problems that crop up during that update, the sites report the issue, and we're the people who go in, investigate why that's happening, and we will submit a bug to development, and we'll, one of the most fun parts, I'm sure you'll agree with me, is proposing code for the for development. We say, okay, this is what happened, and I on our in they have their software on site. We have an exact copy of that in house here at Meditech, so we can do whatever we want there. So we can go into the code and try something out. Say, okay, this is the reason why this is happening. I'm gonna change that and see what happens if we do it like this. And say it works out. Then we can give that as a suggestion to development, and we end up saving them a lot of time. And looks good to us.
Deliver to the site.
Yeah, if our supervisors approve of our change, we can move our code changes for the software out to the site.
Here's the thing about Meditech. A lot of software is doing this now. But basically, if you're a hospital, you get free upgrades forever. It doesn't cost you anything. In fact, we encourage you to take an update, because old code becomes old code. You run into problems, and now the fixes that we have, we've actually fixed the problem that you're running into, but there's so many other changes in the code between where you are and where we are now, we can't. To get that fixed to you is going to be a nightmare code change.
Because the code changes that address particular issues could touch code on the same programs. So you can't just move a fix for one thing if standard code has changed that where those other changes are affecting those same programs. So we end up having to move a whole bunch of changes together. And that's basically what an update is.
I was going to say, for that two-stable, is there supposed to be an end bracket?
Yes. I got that too.
Oh, yeah, another one.
No, the do part.
No, the do is here. This one ends with this one.
So,
this one ends with that one.
Oh, I get it. So it's,
this is one long
loop.
The entire loop goes from here to here.
All right.
Is it saying only do that if that?
Do this. And for each one of these,
through all
this.
The users, we store our data like in arrays. So that's how we reference it. So this is kind of an array. And these letters stand for and G is an MIS dictionary. Matters, but I am an MIS programmer. MIS stands for Meditech Information Systems, and we're in charge of all the dictionaries that all the different applications use. Like, I don't care if you're in billing or in admitting, you need a list of doctors that you can pull from. You need a list of all the users who are allowed onto your system.
Every application.
Yeah, every application is going to need these same lists. And there's a lot of dictionaries, right down to the race dictionary. You are Caucasian. No, you're... Mm-hmm. I mean, it goes, just so that if that comes up, somewhere there's a dictionary that you can reference. If that was all I did, that would be easy, because MIS also gets into, it's not just MIS, it's also NPR, which is the background, which is the name of our language. It's also
all the tools for the programmers, essentially.
Yeah, it's also all the programming tools. It's also, we're in charge of UNV, which gets kind of hairy, but it basically you have... it's too hard to explain. But let me go through this with an update. Let me tell you about an update. Here's what happens. Every hospital, every single one, this is how we don't mess up. We have three rings. We call them rings. In CS, they're called rings. So, obviously, they have a live ring, right? That's what the hospital uses every day. That's their software to admit people. That makes sense, right? but we have two copies of that. We never move any changes to live. That...
from directly in-house.
That is a cardinal sin, right?
Well, the software won't even allow you to do it.
It won't even allow you to do it, yeah.
You don't mess with their live. Here's what we do to solve that, okay? There's two other rings. So how do we get... we have a problem in live and we need to fix it. How do we get a change to live? If everybody and their brother went into live and started changing code, saying, oh, we need to fix this, I'm going to do it here, I'm going to do it, we would have a mess in no time. Not only that, you could break... a lot of times we find out the hard way. We fix one thing, but we broke two other things. Anybody ever find that when you program? It's just a weird thing. Yeah. Oh, I know what I got to do to fix that. Oh, no, this doesn't work. What? Yeah, so that happens all the time. So you can't touch this. So how do we fix that? These three rings are a carbon copy of each other. Same code, same everything. Not the same data. Especially healthcare. It's very,
very sensitive with the HIPAA laws, like what you can and can't look at. The only time we would be looking at something in live is if we were specifically asked to. But and it's whenever we're writing something in a task, we would never be giving any kind of patient information that we would be seeing in the data.
That's one thing I would venture to say. It's never happened, but I would venture to say, as much as it's stress, that's probably one thing you could be fired for, is calling the tabloid and say, hey, I know that so-and-so is in the hospital, and that'll get you... and you know what?
This movie star was taken to this hospital. Oh, I'm working on this hospital. Let's see if I can look up this person's records and find out a little bit about the surgery that this person had.
Yeah.
Probably not a good thing to do.
Yeah, not only that, if Meditech doesn't fire you, they'll fire you because you'll be in jail. So, it's totally illegal. But anyway, code-wise, these are exactly the same. So if we see a problem here, we're never going to fix it there. But we need to see if we can duplicate it and test, and duplicate the problem, preferably in-house. If we can fix the problem in-house, any change, that any time we fix things, it's going to be to our in-house ring. We're going to check, test it. Then we send it to the test ring. They're going to test it. And if everything tests fine, we'll get permission to move it into their live code. Not until then. Testing, testing, testing. It's in our brains, believe me.
And then we'll often have things where the problem is happening in live. It's happening in test, but why is it not happening in-house? Usually that could be because parameters are set differently.
Yeah, there's a million different variables.
And then if the problem is in-house, it could be a problem that they have with custom code that they have, or it could be a standard problem. So we would look in a standard ring, which would be just development code with nothing specific to that site, nothing customized for that site to find out if it's a standard problem. Say the issue is happening here, but it's not happening in their standard ring, that would probably mean that there's an issue with custom code that they have, or an issue with parameters.
We actually have a lot of rings back here, which is our development rings, which is code fixes coming down all the time. So now, this is our job. A site goes through an update. We basically hold their hand. Work with the site. From the time they take the update to a week after they go live, we're also in charge of live for a week. And then we pass it off to our service counterparts. They have nothing to do with updates, but they babysit all the time. So if something comes up, their job is to fix it. But the reason we have so much fun is when we get the latest. All right, let me show you how an update works.
You know, Terry, if I can just take one really quick second. First of all, it's a pet hound of Career Services. It's so great to see you back. We actually are going to have I have a 12 o'clock appointment I need to run, but Meditech is coming on campus next week, next Thursday, to do mock interviews and resume critique sessions. Anybody here think they might be interested? Okay. I sent your instructor my contact information, so you can send it forward to them, but at patricia.condon@bristolcc.edu. If you get me your resume by Monday, I'll be in touch with you to set up your time. This is Terry. I know you took advantage of this many years ago, the mock interviews on campus. There's also some software that we have. It's called Optimal Resume. If you go to your AccessBCC account, you click on College Resources, you'll see the Orange Optimal Resume button. It gives you a lot of samples, and it really gives you a lot of tips putting your resume together. So if you want to take advantage of that, put together the best resume you can, put on your interview suit, we'll actually set you up. But you have to contact me, folks. We only have 5 slots, and I need your resumes no later than Monday. Once those slots have gone, they go on, okay? So please get in touch with me. I know Priscilla has my contact information, and I actually sent you some information on the event, so if you want to forward it. And I do apologize. Yeah, no, this is great.
I will tell you guys, take advantage of this. Take advantage big time. They helped me out a lot with my resume. Helped me get my interview. I mean, really, it was a total team effort. BCC really went to bat for me, I felt, to get me into Meditech. And then from there,
it's all happened.
Yeah, did you say they were doing interviews?
They're doing interviews through Career Services, so you have to contact my office, and we'll set you up. It's just next Thursday. It's a week from today. It's a limited time slot. They're available. They've only got 5 slots. So, in other words, they want to see the most motivated students. So if you send me your resume no later than Monday, I'll be in touch with you Monday. Give me a number where I can reach you. We'll set up your time to come in. Okay? Sorry to interrupt. This sounds great. I was listening, but I do have a 12 o'clock appointment. I'll be back at probably a little after 1, and I'm free for the rest of the day, so I can talk with the students and come for the later.
Okay,
bye, folks. Thank you, Terry. Nice seeing you.
All right, good seeing you. I mean, basically, that's it. When we do an update, they get their latest and greatest code. Live is always what it is. But we'll take this in-house ring, and the very first thing we'll do is we'll create an exact copy of this. So now it's the same code for code. But when we do our updates, it lays new code on top of the old code. So now we might, we'll call this in-house 566, just because they're numbers that Ben and I know. And the new one's 567. That's the updates we're going through right now. So this is a carbon copy of this. Now they lay the new stuff on top of the exact copy of this. And now they have a 567 in-house. We do the same thing here. They make an exact copy of test. That's test 566. And that's test 567. So they make an exact copy. Our job is a couple things. When we do any what's our commission again?
Updates.
Oh, updates. Yeah. So when we lay the new code on here, here's what's going to happen. This is where our job starts. Not every hospital uses the same generic code. I mean, we do, but everybody has customs. They want to customize it a little bit, tweak it a little bit to suit their way of doing things.
So they'll have the standard program sitting in the back, and in front they'll have a replacement program which has all of that development code, the same code, except it's that on that replacement program we have any kind of custom changes on that program.
Yeah.
So
there might be a, they want, they like our screen, but you know what? If we had one more field that we'd like to see on this screen or something, just something stupid like that, something generic. Well, our job is, now that we put this new code on top of here, there might be some of that old custom code that doesn't fit in the new custom code. So our first job, when we start an update, our group is to what we call retrofitting.
Yep, it's just like, I don't know, my wife watches HGTV all the time, and they'll sometimes have shows where they have an old house with old couches, and they want to retrofit that into a new house. How are we going to take this old piece of furniture and make this work in this new house? And it's the exact same thing in computer programming. How are we going to take that old custom and work that into the new code? And sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it actually takes a little bit of brain power to figure out how it's going to work with the new code.
Ben had a full head of hair when he started.
That's not true, but my relationship with hair was a fleeting one.
But yeah, that's our first job. Next is code. They already have an exact copy of this. Next is code gets moved to here. Just the new changes. So now they have a new test. There's nothing worse. There's not many of them, but there's a few hospitals that don't do any testing. That is scary. Because eventually, what's going to happen, on live day, right now, this is a copy of this, this is a copy of this, this is still a 5, 6, 7. Live, there's only ever one live ring. But now we're going to move all this new code to live. It's going to become 5, 6, 7. We're hoping that they did a lot of testing in test. Because if it's a live issue, you're staying late to make sure it's fixed.
And also, it could, depending on what application it is, that could involve patient safety issues, where, as if it's in test, we can nip it at the bud and fix it before we go live, and everything's good. But it's going to be considered a critical issue if it's something that's happening in live, and they say they can't print out reports, or they can't admit patients, or something like that. It could be very serious for a hospital that needs to get done ASAP.
Yeah, so if it's happening in live, we need to fix yesterday. So our job is really just to make the hospital happy. But what Ben is saying, what to me is what's fun about our job, is we find more of the bugs. See, our titles are not programmers. Our titles are programmers / analysts. And that's because what makes our job fun, I think, as crazy as it sounds, is debugging. Something doesn't work, you've got a lot of people counting on you, right?
Mm-hmm.
It can be pretty stressful. And you better have good debugging skills to be able to fix it.
Which is really, once you get into it and you start doing it a few times, it's a step-by-step process of how to figure out, okay, just going in, okay, trying to find, like, it might just be, you got it down to 5 lines of code, and it's somewhere in there, and you got to use the debugger. Okay, what variables are set up at this point? What are we looking at in the internal data structures that could be, that it's looking for that it's not getting? Am I right?
Like, sometimes it's happening on a background job. A background job you don't have access to.
If it's not happening on your client, then you're not going to be able to use a debugger.
Yeah,
so you would have to create code.
Well, an example of a background job is there's jobs that are always running to take, let's say I just gave you some pills, right? There's always jobs that are going to be running that have to go to BAR, billing and receivables, to let them know, hey, you better charge them for these pills. So that's a background job. It's going to always be running, looking at a queue. As soon as I give you those pills, it puts it on a queue and says, this patient, you got to charge them for this. Now there's a job in the background that says, hey, I got to get that information over to billing and receivables. so that they know to charge this guy for it, or at least his insurance. So it's got to take it off of that queue, bring it over here to billing and receivable, make sure it gets into that guy's account. And you can see how this can get, it gets confusing in a hurry. So if it's a background job broke, you can't even do that. Sometimes you have to write, we have to know how to, if we need to know what our variables are, we need to write them to a place where we can see them, to a data structure, basically.
That's what we call trap code, is where we can't use a debugger because the job is not happening on our client. This is happening on some background process. So we will insert code, say, just an assignment of one to a data structure where we set up all of the pieces that we're looking for to get the information we need. Sometimes we'll know that something's not right if, say, that's in the middle of a loop and we want to find out what it's doing in the middle of that loop, and we insert a line of code there, and that data structure that we're trying to set up doesn't actually happen. It doesn't actually set up that data structure. That would mean that we're not even getting into that loop, or one of the conditions for that loop is not being met for us to reach that line of code. So those are some of the things that we have to do sometimes when we can't use debuggers.
Maybe. Okay.
Would you also talk about some of the other jobs other than programming, like networking, a little bit about what jobs Meditech hires for? Like, as I said, I know they hire some networking. I know they have some web development.
When I said earlier that I wish my job was more than was only the dictionaries, it ends up getting into a lot of networking. Networking is very important. Some of our best networking people are BCC graduates. One of them is a good friend of mine, and I say he's a good friend of mine because I sat next to him forever, but I'm going to tell you, his name is Roger. Do you know Roger's last name?
Yeah, Deleuze.
Oh, thank you. I did know it now that you said it. Yeah. But he graduated from here not that long ago. I think he's been at Meditech, what, 3-4 years?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah. The guy is excellent. Top notch. We call him our tech group. That's what they work in, is strictly networking, basically. How you communicating between servers and whatnot, because that's a big, big issue. I mean, if you just have the wrong port, it's not listed. The information's getting there, but this computer is looking for it on this channel, but it's not on this channel. You're going to sit there and scratch your head and say, what? Because you know you're sending it, but it's not getting there. And I'm telling you, networking is a big deal. The other thing that we have is specialists. They become, you're trained. You don't get hired as an expert. But they learn an application inside and out. So like my specialist, we handle a lot of the background jobs, setting them up and whatnot. He can walk a hospital through any part of that. All set up, different setup issues. He knows it inside out. You were talking about the apps and ADM, which is admissions.
Mm-hmm.
They know that software that handles everything about admitting a patient. And everything that it talks to, because once you admit a patient, it's got to be transferred to just about every other application.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets put on a queue, and then that information gets moved to every other application. And they're experts at that. Not in the code behind the scenes, but they're experts in actually showing somebody how to make the software work. Here's the good news about being a programmer. In my opinion, it's good news. You don't have to really deal with the customers that much. Because the other...
Yeah, if you don't like dealing with people on the phone, computer programming.
Yes. Because that's a specialist job. The hospital, a hospital has a problem. They don't call me. In rare occasions, I'll interface with them, but for the most part, they don't call me. They call my specialists, and they say, all right, here's the problem we're encountering. This got to get fixed. Something's wrong here. And then my specialist comes to me and says, all right, this got to be fixed. And it's my job to look at the code then, look at how everything's set up, and see if I can figure out programmatically what the issue is. They're just experts. That is a fun job. Once in a while, they get to travel across the country.
There are some positions where that's more than 10% of what they do is traveling. And especially implementation specialists, where hospitals just getting Meditech for the first time, and they'll go out to wherever, United States, Canada, wherever, and they'll teach everybody how to use the software. So I know the market share in Canada is something like 33%.
So I want to ask if people have questions before you go on.
I had somebody once say to me that they didn't want to work for Meditech because it was its own language, and then they wouldn't have any job skills if they wanted to get another job to move on somewhere else. How do you feel about that statement?
Is that a fair assessment? I have to say, I'm in a position where I don't want to, I'm too old. I want to finish at Meditech, so it doesn't matter to me. But I understand that analogy, because if you go to a place that specializes in Java, there's other places that specialize in Java. The only thing I will say about Meditech is they take care of their own.
There are pros and cons to exactly what you're saying. There are people who leave for that reason. One of the things that could be a counter-argument to that is that as a programmer, if you learn the language, which of course, as we've said, is proprietary, you're not going to be as expendable to the company as perhaps if it's Java. And a lot of people know Java, a lot of people know C++, but the hiring process is fairly lengthy. It usually takes place over a couple of months, I would say, but they're looking for long-term employees. So once you're in, if job security is what you value, and you do a good job when you're there, they'll take care of you. You won't have to be scared of, a department downsizing, and then you just got to this great job that might be paying you more than what Meditech salary is starting at, and then all of a sudden you're looking for a new job before you even know what's going on. Which happens.
Security
it's not
to me is, I'm at the point in my career where security is everything. So I don't really, that's not an issue for me. But yeah, I can understand that argument, honestly.
It was a younger person then.
Yeah, if I had to be honest, I could understand that argument for sure.
Some people choose to only stay a few years because of that, I'm sure.
That is true.
But programming is programming, and if you get background in programming, and then you decide to move on.
And you're going to run into the same issues other places.
The concepts are fundamental. I mean, you'll be able to, if you can learn this language, which I heard, some people think, I don't really have the experience in other languages, but a lot of people think that this is not the easiest language to learn. If you can learn this and you had to go someplace else, or you wanted to go someplace else, or you were moving somewhere, you could learn it. I would think, if they say most programmers to learn, once you understand the fundamentals of programming, to learn another language shouldn't be that hard.
No, right. The first language is Java's language.
The other advantage to Meditech, if you are a young person, I won't say this opportunity exists anymore because it doesn't. Because if you remember Microsoft, everybody who started out, they're all the janitor when they started out, it's a millionaire, a bazillionaire because of the stock interest and whatnot. But I can tell you this, I know a lot of guys that have been there 25, 30 years. A lot of them make more with their Meditech dividend checks than they do with their salary. So I've heard.
Well, the internal stock is, if you choose to buy Meditech company stock, it definitely outperforms the market. There's no doubt about that. I'm not one for putting all my eggs in one basket, but that's just me. But as stocks go, it's over time, it's been a pretty good stock.
We've got
like for dividends and for capital appreciation.
So, any other questions?
More questions?
So, are these all full-time jobs?
Yes.
Yes. If you run into duress...
They have internships. Oh. If that's something that you'd be interested in getting your feet wet, a lot of people have done that.
Paid internships, sir?
What's that?
Paid.
I don't think that they're paid.
I don't know. I can't.
I can tell that. Yeah.
I think that they
I
are.
I can tell no on that.
Yeah, what, for internships?
Yeah.
I know that people, like,
I'll be to say the only ones I know, though, are family members.
Oh, is that true?
I don't know anybody
else.
At
least our co-op office, I think, was told that. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. I know some.
Maybe they just didn't
I know some other programmers who have young.
Right, if we're going to be going for, like, a... The rest of my degree is definitely hourly, you know, go work full time and do school hours. It's just the problem I was thinking.
Right.
They do give you tuition, though, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Tuition reimbursement if you're going towards a degree.
Not only that, but if I came to BCC and took a class in poetry, they'd pay for it. I don't know what the correlation is.
That would be if you were taking night classes and you were working full time during the day, then they would do a certain amount of tuition reimbursement. I haven't used it personally, but I don't know that.
Okay. Thank you very much, guys. You get 15 minutes off now. And then you get to do a rerun.
So if I just do one,
pretty
much.
Yep.
This is
but to get hired, so with them liking you. Yeah, I'd say if they like you, I mean, that's pretty much with me. Like I said, I had no background.
They have to like you tends to be like the background.
I'm sure you're smart.
Yeah. So you can't just go into be likable, but be
if you do really